This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. What a remarkable week, and it's not over yet. Religious triumph, religious tragedy in a week where religious holidays coincide, suggesting that we could all get along a bit better than we do. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement for the world's Jews, and the Muslim holiday Eid al-Adha came on the same day. But that coincidence was besmirched by a tragic slaughter and a stampede on Thursday morning near Mecca. It's the worst incident of its kind in 25 years, and confusion radiated everywhere around the holy city. Abdi Fattah Shafat traveled to Mecca from Kansas City to help his parents perform the Hajj.
In the city of Mecca today, I could see the confusion. I could see the alarm on people's faces, not knowing what happened, not knowing where to find their loved ones. It was a very sad moment. It was really confusing. It was so bad. And you could see it from the from the faces of people and people talking to each other in so many different tongues in the city of Mecca.
The city of Mecca, an international city around the time of the Hajj. In the aftermath of the stampede, as Abdi Fattah told us, he frantically searched for his own parents, relatives, and friends from around the world who knew he was in the holy city, frantically calling him for help locating their own loved ones. Abdi Fattah and his family, fortunately, were safe. But thousands of emergency workers were reportedly sent to the scene, where they rushed hundreds of injured pilgrims to the hospital. The accident raises questions about the Saudi government's responsibility to ensure security, as year after year, the number of pilgrims arriving for the Hajj only grows. According to a Pew Research Center report from earlier this year, Muslims are now the world's fastest-growing religious group. Dilshad Ali is the editor of the Muslim Channel at the online religious news site Patheos.com. She performed the Hajj in 2005. Dilshad, your thoughts and I suspect your prayers for the dead in the holy city this week.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You know, it's really hard to read about this and to see this happening every year. You know, every Muslim knows somebody who goes for the Hajj. And, you know, I personally know about five or six friends and family members who are there right now. And something like this happens, and the first thing you're doing is checking in on Facebook, on social media, on the phone, asking people to call you back and make sure they're fine. So it's really scary, and it's hard to read about it. And yeah, our thoughts and our prayers go out to them and to their families.
I've been reading a lot of the talk about Saudi security and the way the Saudis try to control the crowds in Mecca and in Medina and the areas around the holy places. And I wonder if you could attest to this. There was some discussion that, you know, the Saudis will close a road without any warning if a prince from the royal family goes by or someone from the royal family suddenly moves through in a motorcade. And that can be very disorienting and really quite dangerous. Are you familiar with that criticism, and did you witness anything like that in 2005?
I know I'm familiar with the criticism, and things like that do happen sometimes during the Hajj, sometimes at other times of the year. When we were there in 2005, I don't remember anything like that particularly happening. But, you know, things will change from one day to the other. You know, certain road closures will be things that you're unaware of, or certain roads that you thought were open will be closed, and vice versa. The fact remains that it's a really difficult thing to organize and to manage because, you know, everything there is in Arabic and you have people coming from all over the world, you know, the U.S. and, you know, Africa and South Asia and Europe and everywhere. And we don't all speak the language and we're trying our best to understand how to do it. And they do try their best, you know, and they're trying to organize you and get you through it. But you know, 2 million people in a very small space doing the same rituals in a very short amount of time is a really difficult thing to manage.
You mentioned very short amount of time. There was some discussion that there's a generational split, that young people are typically trying to accomplish the rituals at a much faster pace than older people, and that can sometimes disrupt the crowd. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. And the thing is that, you know, the Hajj is a series of rites and rituals that have to happen in a very specific way, and they have to happen at very specific times. And if you don't do it that certain way, then, you know, your Hajj is not completed properly. And that's a very big thing for a Muslim, because if you walk away from the Hajj and you haven't done things in the proper way, then what was all that effort for? You know, your whole hope is that you're doing it in a way and you're doing it in the right way and that God's going to accept your pilgrimage. So, you know, there's a certain amount of time to complete certain rituals in, and there's a lot of people who have to be able to do that. And so, you know, if you're trying to hurry through it, you know, you kind of have to work with what's in front of you, and you can't move as fast as you want sometimes. And there's elderly and there's younger people, and sometimes children are there, though, you know, a lot of times we're discouraged to not bring children, and it's hard.
It's hard. Well, and it's an indication of just there's a lot of emotional issues at stake when someone even gets elbowed out of the way, which can change the character of the crowd. Certainly, Dilshad Ali is editor of the Muslim Channel at Patheos.com. She performed the Hajj in 2005.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.